Blog Talk Radio.
Today we open our show in remembrance of Lance Corporal Benjamin Tuttle, 19 years old of Gentry, Arkansas. Lance Corporal Tuttle died July 14th at Lansdale Regional Medical Center, where he was assigned to Marine Fighter Attack Squadron 323, Marine Aircraft Group 11, 3rd Marine Aircraft Wing, 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, Marine Corps Air Station, Miramar, California. He was laid to rest today at his hometown of Gentry, Arkansas. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Lance Corporal Tuttle. Who's on the phone lines today?
Man, this is Clint Davis.
Hey, Clint Davis. I did not reckon. Oh, you're on your cell phone. Okay.
I am. I am live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and not at my house.
Ah. So how you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing good. I caught the very first of the show, and let's talk about that real quick. What happened?
Well, from the information I am receiving, Benjamin Tuttle, Lance Corporal, United States Marines, they haven't really given out much of the information because apparently there is an investigation going on, but he passed away at Lansdale Regional Medical Center in Germany, and his funeral service was today in his hometown of Gentry, Arkansas. Marine Fighter Attack Squadron 323, Marine Aircraft Group 11, 3rd Marine Aircraft Wing, and the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. So, we just, being veterans ourselves, you and me, I wanted to recognize Benjamin Tuttle with the sounding of taps to start off our show today.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It says here, I'm reading here that he died following a medical evacuation from the USS Nimitz during a scheduled port visit in the 5th Fleet area of responsibility.
Right.
So, this is, I've seen cases like this, having been in the 5th Fleet area when I was in. It sounds like something went wrong during a port visit, and so that hopefully they get down to the bottom of it with an investigation.
Exactly, and I wanted to shed special light on it today because I heard some unwanted visitors from Kansas were supposed to be in town.
Oh, let them bring them on. Those people are they're cousins nowadays, and here's my thing with this. With this Westboro Baptist Church. I don't like them. I don't like what they believe in, but they have every right in this country to do what they're doing. I don't. They're covered under the Constitution. It's the same Constitution that we served and protected, and they have every right to do this. You don't have to agree with their message. Anybody is free enough in this country to utilize their rights that have been given to them by the Constitution. So. I'm not one of these people. I'm not going to go form a barricade and tell them that they need to go home. And I just don't participate because I don't agree with it. I just leave the whole thing alone.
Right, right. So you're in Tulsa, my friend.
I am.
Getting ready to partake in some baseball action.
Might be, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to go tonight. It's Thursday at Driller Stadium, so I'm going to kind of weigh out my options. I don't know if it's supposed to rain up here. I don't know what it's doing. But it's, you know, it looks a little dreary out this way.
I know. I was saying that myself because I went and ran my errands early, and I'm just like, because I know last night when I heard the last forecast I heard before I went to bed last night was we were supposed to get some rain, and
right.
I had, and I was saying to myself, okay, when's the rain? I thought we were supposed to get rain. Well, it is starting to darken up here also. So hey, I got some outstanding news about our show tomorrow.
What you got?
We have a very special guest going to be on the show tomorrow.
It better be Susie Wyatt.
It is Susie Wyatt, the battling grandma.
Nice.
She emailed me last night and said she would be more than happy to be on the show tomorrow. So, I mean, if you folks have not heard the story about Susie Wyatt, you really need to pick up. 49 years old, MMA female fighter. And her last fight, which was last weekend up in, I believe it was St. Charles, she beat her opponent in less than, what was it, 39 seconds?
Yeah, I can't even remember now, but it was very, very fast.
Yeah, it was like some crazy number, 39 seconds in the first round. And so me and Clint, we stumbled on this story, and after reading the story, we immediately knew that we had to have Susie Wyatt on the show, and sure enough, it is happening tomorrow, live right here on the Greg Squirrel Show. Susie Wyatt in the house. So, you know, make sure you get, if you're listening tomorrow, you know, make sure you got. If you have any questions, we're going to be letting people call in, ask questions. So it's going to be good times. Phone lines are open, 347-326-9073. So if you want to call in today, questions, comments, shout-outs, birthdays, you name it, we got it. I mean, yesterday's show was off the chain.
It was pretty good. It was it's something I think it was a long time coming. And you know, I'm down with that.
Yeah, we you know, that show was off the chain, and just a precursor of things to come. I mean, I'm excited about what's in store around the corner. I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Did you happen to catch any of the truck races last night?
Did not. I'm not a racing kind of guy. Racing and golf, I don't do.
Oh, man. You know, I have not been, you know, because I lived 15 years at Fort Smith, 75 to 90. And maybe that, yeah, 75 to 90. I lived in Fort Smith. And so there was a racetrack right there in my backyard over at Poto. Tri-State Speedway. We also had Crawford County Speedway in Van Buren. But I can only really remember once or twice going to the races. But believe it or not, after watching the truck races, it was in the NASCAR Truck Series. They were on a dirt track last night.
Wow.
And it was fun to watch. Especially Ryan Newman did this move coming off one of the he was going into the corner trying to get the inside lane on somebody. And, I mean, you got those rear-wheel drives, you know, wanting to spin that rear end out there. And he was fighting everything to keep that truck out of the wall. And it was fun. I'll put it to you this way. It was so much fun watching. It has now rekindled my interest to go watch races in person at either West Siloam Springs. We got, you know, they got a track over there, Van Buren, or Tri-State, you know. So they're definitely going to – I'm just going to have to get back into it. I mean, I'm sorry. The hook has been set. It's caught another victim. So there we go.
That's all right.
I was reading an awesome, you know, people say that athletes today are prima donnas, but I read a story on the news today that really showed that there are some true sportsmen in sports. Get this story started. Atlanta Braves. A pitcher, Tim Hudson, was on the hill. They were playing the Mets. And apparently Eric Young hit a little scribber back to Hudson. Hudson was racing the first to make the out. And Eric Young stepped on his ankle.
Yeah, he did.
And Eric Young's in a post. Let me find it here. After the game, I knew I didn't get any of the base. I got all of his foot. Eric Young said, I pretty much knew it was broke right when I did it. That's why he put the game aside. I mean, when he realized what happened, he said, screw the game. I'm looking after a fellow player. So he ran back over to Hudson and tried to console him, apologize until the staff could get out there and start looking after Tim Hudson's. Tim Hudson's wife, Kim, very classy lady. She wasn't mad or angry. She posted on Twitter to Eric Young Jr. And to post that, thank you for playing the game the right way. You're obviously one of the good guys. We appreciate you.
Yeah, great message too. You know, and I think she wouldn't have been, as positive as she was had Eric Young just kind of rounded the bag and headed over to second. You know, I think she was happy that he was classy enough to stop and make sure everything was okay. So.
I mean, to be quite honest, and you know, maybe I'm wrong with all the stuff that's going on in baseball right now. I honestly can't think of too many other players that might have done that.
No, I could sit here probably and think of a handful, maybe, but you know, there's just not a lot. But you know, you never know. You never know until people are in that situation. You know, you've got some people who play the game who obviously are out for themselves and they're out for the good of the game and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you never know until the heat of the moment hits who would do that and who wouldn't. You know, maybe some of the people that we would least expect do something like that would turn out and actually do something like that. You know, I mean, watching any of the Mets before, I mean, I'm not trying to stereotype the Mets here, but they're not always known as the cleanest ball team on the field. And, you know, so for a New York Mets to turn around and act like they care about what's going on, it was kind of a surprise to me. I immediately went to Twitter after I saw this and after the way he reacted, after Young reacted, I went to Twitter and started following him. I mean, he's won me over as a fan. Anytime
sportsmanship
and class like that, I mean, I'm on both of them.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll lay off a little while calling them the Mutts like I'm notorious for doing because that's something I've done for years. I mean, so anyway, man, we got bunches of people been logging in and out of the chat room. Well, I think it's just one person that keeps coming and going. I don't know.
I think that's me because I'm
is that you?
I'm not my normal self today. I'm not on Skype. You know, I had to call in by the phone. How do I sound, by the way?
Well, you know, you sound good. I mean, it don't sound clear like it normally does, but it's just, you know, Skype's the bomb when it comes to doing this type of stuff. But,
I've got a great microphone at home, and when I get on Skype and use my mic at the same time, it always sounds really good. But now I'm obviously on my phone, and I've got my my headset, my Apple iPhone headset in, so I was just wanting to make sure it sounded okay.
Oh, Miss Amy already tagged me up today. Please give me another shout-out today. So, Amy Beakley, here's your shout-out. I think we got a stalker, or a groupie at least.
Well, I think she's one of the best groupies you could find. She's one of my fans, and I, like I said, I've known her since we were about 5 years old, and I would like to note also that out of 111 people who like the Greg Squirrel Show on Facebook, 71 of those are my friends.
Well, that's obviously telling me something I don't want to know. That's obviously telling me I don't have any friends.
You do too. Hey, I guarantee you though. There's a lot of, the biggest way to get people to notice your stuff on Facebook is to either comment on their stuff or like their stuff. Even if you don't like it, just scroll on down Facebook, find some stuff that looks semi interesting, and like it. And the more people that you interact with, the more people will see your stuff whenever you post on Facebook. So, you know, like me, I mean, what do I have, 1,280-something friends, and any time I put something on my news feed, I mean, I've got statuses with 400-something comments on them, you know, so
right.
I mean, you never can tell. But, you know, I like to interact with people. I like to keep my, like to keep my interaction level with people up to snuff, and that way when I put stuff down, they see it when it shows up, so. There's some fighters here who have liked Sean Bales. He likes the Greg Squirrel Show. Cameron Mott, that we talked to yesterday, and then Dustin Freeman.
Right, right.
Oklahoma City. Talked to Dustin Freeman a little bit. I guess it was yesterday I talked to him. I guess these are all in alphabetical order. I mean, I've got just a list of friends here. Bruce Stemple, we might be seeing him on October 26th, you know, Christina Rose, obviously, in Mike Ward's corner.
Oh, yeah. She's our
Darlene,
buddy. She's our buddy.
Darlene
though.
XFI. She likes the page. David Keel, who we saw win his debut on June 29th. Like I mentioned, Dustin Freeman. Then, obviously, Greg Squirrel. He's one of my friends that likes the Greg Squirrel Show. And then Jamie Howe from Spike 22, Jason Bowling. Jesse Feedback, who's training out of Spike 22, Jordan Tankersley, who fights. We saw him on June 29th. Who else we got here? We got Granny Hulkster, Megan Goodwin, Team 3M, Megan Goodwin out of Salisaw, Tahlequah area. Matt Goss, who trains at Spike 22, Nicole Harp, she's one of our fighters' wives, Brandon Harp. Pat Rose, of course, we spoke to him on the show, former professional wrestler and host of Set the Hook with Pat Rose.
ESPN
Radio. Slamming Sammy Rogers. Sean Bales, like I mentioned. And, that's just a handful of my friends who like the Greg Squirrel Show.
Yeah. Also, Teresa Pickup, a good friend of mine, one of the very few I have. She wanted to give us a shout-out today. Like you said, Christina Rose, she's apparently she's listening because she's been chirping in little messages here and there. So, I mean, life is good for the Greg Squirrel Show. And, of course, you got XFI Live every Tuesday and every Friday at 12 noon with the one and only Clint Davis.
That is a true story.
So, I mean, there we are. Hey, I know you're not much of a Dallas Cowboy fan, but news coming out of Dallas is that it's no longer Cowboy Stadium. Apparently, it is now AT&T Stadium.
My dad and I were talking about this just a couple of minutes ago, and I'm wondering what kind of money was put up for Jerry Jones to give up the naming rights.
Must have been a bunch. That's all I can
say. I mean, it had to have been like $1 billion or something. I mean, you know, he's not a cheap kind of guy, and he, you know, especially naming rights. I mean, good grief. Since when did he start giving up naming rights to his own stadium?
I'm looking at the story here to see if there's any numbers. I mean, so far the only number I've seen is $1.2 million.
That's all?
Or $1.2 billion, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, man. It had to have been at least a billion.
Yeah. So anyway, there we go. We got that.
Well, I've got some other headlines here. Did you hear about Matt Ryan?
Yes, I heard about Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons, this is on ESPN.com, have agreed to a 5-year contract extension that will make the quarterback one of the league's highest-paid players. The extension, which came just before the first practice of training camp, guarantees Matt Ryan $59 million. It could be worth up to $103 million, a $20.75 million average annual salary. Ryan will make $63 million in the first 3 years of the contract. It puts him up there with contracts with the likes of Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco, Drew Brees, and Peyton Manning. He had 1 year remaining on his rookie contract, but the Falcons have been working for months to lock him up for the long term. He's the face of the franchise, and the team wanted to make certain he's around when the Falcons move into a new stadium in 2017, coming off the best season of his 5-year contract. You know, what's weird to me is how they gave up Michael Turner. You know, Michael Turner was he was one of my starting running backs on my fantasy football team last year. And in my money league, I was either in first place, tied for first place, or in second place all year. And Michael Turner was one of my running backs. I had Michael Turner and Trent Richardson. And these guys put points up. For me, they put points up all season like you wouldn't believe. And, you know, they kept putting Jacquizz Rodgers in to run the ball a little bit. Here and there, kind of to get him down the field. But when it came into that 25 or 30-yard press to the end zone, that's when they kept putting Michael Turner in. Michael Turner would always run the ball in, and he caught his very first touchdown pass in his career last year. You know, I mean, he would either score a touchdown or he would get him at least close enough to score a touchdown, and they just cut him loose. I don't even know why.
Huh. That does seem weird.
Yeah. Michael Turner, he's one of the best they've ever had. I don't know. I think I know who they're going to use this year. I looked it up. I'll have to look it up again. But they're not going to use Jacquizz Rodgers. It's not their first-string running back now. It's somebody else. So kind of surprising that they would have him alternating with Michael Turner last year, and then now they're keeping him in as a backup.
Right, right. Hey, who knows what some of them people are thinking sometimes. I mean, and what's so sad is it don't always work out the way. Well, look at Tim Tebow. You know, everybody thought he was the hot thing coming out of college, and he's pretty much been a bust.
Well,
in the NFL.
He wasn't a bust. I mean, these teams are making him a bust. He's not a bust. He's one of the most worthwhile players. You know, he took over for a horrible Jay Cutler or Kyle Orton, as a matter of fact. Didn't they trade Orton and
Cutler
traded from Chicago to Denver, and then somebody got hurt or got set out or something like that. Tebow comes in and leads the Denver Broncos to the playoffs. Leads them to the playoffs. Didn't they win their first game in the playoffs?
Yeah.
And then what happens after that? They go trade him to the Jets so they can put him on the bench? Come on. Tebow's not a bust by any means. Tebow's one of the best players in the NFL. And if somebody has the balls to apply him somewhere, they'll figure out just how good Tim Tebow is.
Oh, well, I agree. You know, maybe that came across wrong the way I phrased it. And if that is, I do apologize to Tim Tebow. I do think he has the potential, you know, like you said, if somebody will just give him the start. Give him the
start.
Well,
I hate to keep nitpicking your work, and I don't mean, I'm not trying to pick you apart here. It's not potential though. He's already proven what he can do. You know, you can look at someone who's just getting started, and you can look at you know, flashes in the pan and little signs that they're going to be okay, and you can say that person's got all the potential in the world, meaning they haven't used it yet. Potential is something that you've got stored up that you're going to pull out for a better time and place. Tim Tebow's already pulled it out. They put him in. He was the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. He came in. He did a fantastic job, took him to the playoffs. He won his first ever playoff game with them. And then, I mean, he's proven his potential. We knew in college, a two-time champion, a Heisman winner, we knew that he had the potential to be a great NFL quarterback, and he proved that he can be. You know, the potential's already been extended.
Right. Oh, you know. I want to see it. Personally, you know, personally, I want to see him come in and just really shock the world out of these people. Say, hey, here we go. This is what I've been capable of doing. How you like me now?
Yeah. You know, and he's one of those guys that doesn't come back with ring rust. You know, he's not going to jump back in the game and be like Tony Romo and fumble everywhere and throw 15 interceptions in a game. He's not going to be like that. He's one of those guys that he's always on. He's always on top of his game because he's poised. He's always got a lot of self-control, and he knows exactly what to do with himself. So I have every belief in the world that when somebody decides, you know, we need to get somebody like a Kansas City, or a
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville needs somebody like that. I mean, who do they have? I mean, they had Byron Leftwich. He kept getting hurt. They put him on the bench. Now who's Jacksonville's quarterback? I mean, nobody knows anything about Jacksonville. Ever since Matt Jones got cut for cooking coke in the back of a Suburban, I mean, nobody's ever kept up with anybody on the Jaguars football team.
Oh, exactly.
You know, so, I mean, he needs to go somewhere like that, Kansas City. Or or Jacksonville, or one of these teams that really needs a lot of help. I don't know. I'd have to look. I need to look at all the NFL teams.
That's what I'm sitting here thinking. We really just need to sit down and see who's suffering right now at that position.
Take the Dolphins for example.
Who do they? Yeah,
I mean the Dolphins.
I didn't know they even had a ball.
Well, I don't even know who their quarterback is, to be honest with you. They've had so much trouble. Chad Henne came in, the guy from, from Michigan, I think, and he tried to give it a go, and it just didn't work out. And now we've got, who do we even have? Ryan Tannehill from Texas A&M. Just not even good. You know what I mean?
Hey, we got some callers on the phone line. Let's go to the phone line, see who we got on here. Is that Granny Hulkster?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Hey, Granny Hulkster. Hold on a minute, Granny Hulkster. Who we got on the line here?
Mr. Squirrel, it's Mike in Pittsburgh. How are you doing today?
Hey, Mike in Pittsburgh. What's going on?
Well, I heard you talking about Tim Tebow. Couldn't agree more. He was given the shaft in New York. He's in a perfect situation, you know. With all the injuries and Aaron Hernandez's situation, they're almost forced to put him in the offense. What I'd like to know from you, over under Tim Tebow this year, 5 touchdowns, whether it's running, throwing, or however he gets them.
Ooh.
Under.
Wow.
I say under. They're not going to use him.
Under.
Boy, that's a toss-up. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start on that.
Under all day. They're not going to apply him. They're going to bring in somebody else to run tight end. He could easily be a great tight end for New England. They're not going to use him at quarterback. The only time they will, I mean, look at who's their second string quarterback, the other guy from Arkansas that nobody remembers. I mean, what did he do? Take snaps when it was the 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter? There's no
Ryan
way to use him.
The thing is, you can use him at the 1 yard line and get, you know, cheap little touchdowns. 5 isn't too many. You know, and then, you know, they run him in, the punt. He can run fakes. I mean, there's a lot of different ways. And, you know, 5 touchdowns isn't that many. That's basically out in Vegas what they're saying now. They have a line out there for 5 touchdowns over under Tebow.
Yeah, but the thing you got to understand about the Patriots is they're only going to trust one man in that position, and that's Tom Brady. They're not going to trust anybody else. When they need a touchdown, when they're in a position where they have to get a touchdown, Tom Brady's going to be in the ball game, hands down.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Well, I mean, they don't have much there, guys, around Tom Brady. So, you know, Belichick, he's got a creative mind. So, I will call you mid-season, guys, when he has over 5 touchdowns and kind of rub it in a little bit. But you guys have
okay.
a good one.
Hey, you too.
Done deal.
Hey, appreciate it, Mike.
You look at the depth chart here. Tim Tebow is a third string quarterback. Tom Brady, Ryan Mallett, Tim Tebow. Who are the running backs? Who watched that guy play last year? Who's their second string running back that scored just as many touchdowns in the game as McGill? You've got two running backs right there who are easily going to run reverses, who are easily going to catch passes in the flat, who are easily going to run the ball up the middle, Stephen Ridley and Shane Vereen. You've got Devlin and Bartholomew at fullback. You've got a wide receiver core that's going to be hard to be beat. They're calling for Gronkowski to be back at tight end anyway. You got Danny Amendola out there at wide receiver. You got Edelman. You got Jenkins. You got Dobson. I don't see where they're going to go wrong here. I don't see a situation where the Patriots, a perennial great team, I don't see a situation where they're going to need Tim Tebow this year. The teams like this don't need Tim Tebow. Teams like the Dolphins need Tim Tebow. Teams like Kansas City, like Oakland, who constantly has problems at quarterback, they're going to need a guy like Tim Tebow. You know, look who just went to Arizona. You know who Arizona's a quarterback is now, don't you?
I don't believe I do.
Carson Palmer.
Oh, Carson Palmer, that's right.
Carson Palmer coming from the Patriots, from the Raiders. Like I'm talking about the Raiders always having problems. I mean, you know, these teams like this, I mean, you got, who else do we got here that needs a good quarterback? Cincinnati, who's their quarterback? You know, Cleveland. Cleveland's always having problems at quarterback. I mean, Cincinnati's got, who's that guy? Let's go on. Let me click on them and check Cincinnati's quarterback. But Cleveland's always got, Andy Dalton is Cincinnati's quarterback.
Okay, never heard of it.
Cleveland brand. Well, Andy Dalton's a good, Andy Dalton's one of those quarterbacks that when, like last year when I had RG3 was my starter for my fantasy team. When he was on the bench, I'd go pick up Andy Dalton and put him in as a backup. You know, I mean, he would always put up points. Andy Dalton could pass. Look at Brandon Weeden. Brandon Weeden, seriously, where did he come from? Oklahoma State? I mean, Brandon Weeden, he's not a professional quarterback. I don't think he should be in the game at all. You put somebody like Brandon Weeden, who never did anything in college, against somebody like Tim Tebow, a two-time national champion and a Heisman Trophy winner, who would you rather start in that situation? I mean, Tim Tebow's got to go where the money is. He can't go where, and when I say money, I'm talking about where can I play the most. That's where his bread and butter is going to be. Can't
oh, exactly. I agree.
With a great team now, I mean, the Tennessee Titans, who are they using? Still using Kerry Collins from the 90s? I mean, what are they doing?
Hey, I think they got Jeff George. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible. I mean, there's a slew of teams. There's at least a handful and a half of teams here where Tim Tebow could go and succeed. I'm gonna tell you right now, the Patriots don't need Tim Tebow. If they use Tim Tebow, it's because the crowd is pressuring them. But you got Jake Locker playing from Tennessee. I mean, seriously, how many interceptions did that guy throw last year? You got Ryan Fitzpatrick as his backup. Wasn't he the starter for the Bills last year?
Something like that. Yeah, they're the team that could probably use a quarterback.
The Buffalo Bills? Well, I think they just signed somebody, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to go in and check their depth chart.
Okay.
Kevin Cobb. He came from Arizona
Cobb, yeah.
He didn't even play half the year. And then, of course, they signed E.J. Manuel from Florida State. They got him in the draft this year. And so, you know, they're covered. I think the Bills are going to be good and covered this year. But, you know, the Patriots have no need. I say under for touchdown. That's just talk from a football standpoint. Now, if he goes over, you know, it's not the fact that our friend from Pennsylvania is going to be able to rub it in my face, because I'm a Tim Tebow fan. I want Tim Tebow to succeed. And obviously, if they're not going to put him in a position where he can succeed, then he's obviously going to be under on the touchdowns. He'll be under 5 touchdowns. If he's over, I'll be just as happy as the next guy is, but it's going to take a little while.
Yeah. I want to go over this story real quick while we're talking about football. We got Granny Hulkster on the phone line, so we want to get back to her here in just a second. It's not getting any better for Aaron Hernandez. The Florida Gators are no longer associating themselves with Aaron Hernandez. The University Athletic Association, which funds the school's athletic program, has removed all references to Aaron Hernandez in and around the University of Florida. The latest and most public came this morning when construction workers pulled up a granite plaque commemorating Aaron as a first-team All-American in 2009. The brick was cemented into the ground outside Griffin Stadium. So now he don't have a college team that wants anything to do with him. How sad is that? It's
surprise. He's terrible.
Granny Hulkster, how are you, sweetie?
I'm good. Clint, I got to tell you something. My son really, really likes you.
Really?
They make medicine for that.
Because you wear a New York Yankees ball cap a lot, don't you? You like the Yankees?
Constantly. I've got it on now. Before I got on the show today, my dad and I were sitting in the living room watching the Yankees and the Rangers, which the Yankees won today, by the way.
Well, he teases me about the Yankees. I mean, because, you know, he says, oh, you need to like the Yankees, Mom. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't, because I'm a Royals fan, just like I'm a Chiefs fan. So I don't like the Yankees. I don't like the Raiders. You know, when you're a Chiefs fan, you got to be a Raider hater. But my son wanted me to personally tell you that he said hello, and he thought it was hilarious when I told him what you said yesterday about getting the picture by himself with Matt Hardy at TCW next week to show all the ladies, you know.
That's right.
He
that's
just
right.
laughed, and he says, oh, that Clint. And he says
that's
all
right.
He could do was laugh. But he wanted me personally to tell you, he said, next time you talk to him, you tell him I said hello. And I said, well, I will do that, Anthony. So
that's right.
My son
that's
Anthony
right.
says hello to you, Mr. Clint.
Well,
so.
You tell Anthony hello for me, and I hope he gets a chance to listen to the show. And if he does, then Anthony, I hope everything's going well for you, and pretty soon, if we can get him on here to talk to him, I hope we can do that too. So,
well,
cool.
I'm going to give him the number to call in sometime. I don't know if he'll ever call in or not, but I'm going to give him the number to call in case he'd like to ever call in and talk to
you
guys.
That's
because he knows both of you guys personally, so, you know. But I do have a question, guys. I need some help. And I have a friend who wrestles for an independent wrestling organization,
right?
And he got contacted by a gentleman that is running a federation under the name of Mid-South. Now, I know at one time before Traditional Championship Wrestling, it, you know, became Traditional Championship Wrestling, I know that ran under the name of Mid-South with Bill Ash being the promoter. Am I right in saying that, Greg?
I know Bill Ash had a promotion, but right offhand, I cannot remember the name of it.
Well, I was thinking that it was Mid-South before it became Traditional Championship Wrestling, because that's where I first met Matt Riviere and Tim Storm and all those guys, because they did a wrestling show at the All-Star Sports Arena in Springdale, Arkansas, in Springdale at the All-Star Sports Arena, and it was under the name of Mid-South. Well, this guy and my friend, you know, he called me and asked me because he thought I might know. And I said, well, I'm not sure, but I was thinking that I saw on Facebook several months ago that I saw a federation listed that was running under the name of Mid-South. And I guess my friend just kind of wanted to know more about it, if it was legit. And I didn't know if you knew, or Clint, if you knew of any organization or federation that was using the name of Mid-South again.
Well, I do, as a matter of fact. And I don't know much about it, but it's the only thing I know is about the website, MidSouthWrestling.com, and it's billed as Extreme Wrestling. So I don't know if this is a kind of a new, if they're rebranding it or what they're doing. I don't have any idea what's going on here.
All I know is the guy's name was Floyd. His first name was Floyd. And that's, you know, my friend, you know, he was kind of leery about it because he didn't know, you know, if they treated their wrestlers good or if it was just like backyard wrestling, or, you know, if it was even legit, and because he said he hadn't heard of it, and, you know, being that I've known, you know, watched wrestling for as long as I have, you know, I guess he thought I might know something about it, and I thought, well, I'll just call in and ask my knowledgeable friends here. You know?
Yeah, no, I really, to be honest with you, I don't know. Is it Mid-South Wrestling or Mid-South Championship Wrestling? Or
I think it's called
Extreme?
Mid-South Wrestling is what they're calling it, I think, from what my friend said.
I'm not showing, you know, the old Mid-South wrestling is I'm showing that is something that is not going here anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me keep digging a little bit.
Well, I was going to do some digging deeper, you know, myself, you know, when I had the chance, you know, for my friend. But I just thought, well, I'd ask you guys because, you know, you're pretty knowledgeable on that. And, Greg, as long as you've been in the business, I thought maybe you might know. And
hey, are you calling
me old?
Honestly,
wait a minute. I think that's what she just did.
Wow.
Honestly, I don't – if it's not PCW, I mean, I'm not saying this to add any stats or anything, but if it's not PCW, I honestly don't know anything about it.
Yeah, well, I didn't know if you did or not. I mean, like I said, I remember seeing something about it on Facebook, like I said, several months ago, and I remember seeing the name Mid-South, and I thought, well, where's that coming from, you know? But I didn't really look at it that close. I just kind of shrugged it off and – you know, didn't pay attention to it.
I think Mid-South Wrestling went to Tri-State Wrestling. I think that's what they became. Mid-South Wrestling, I'm not showing that they have even been in business for a while.
Yeah. Well,
so
like
I said,
my friend asked me about it, you know, and I just thought, because he contacted him pretty recently, so I don't know if this is something new that somebody's trying to
get
started.
See if you can get some actual names, and if you can, shoot those to me on Facebook, because I want to look into this a little bit.
Okay, I will. You know, like I said, I'll get a hold of my friend and have him, you know, call me back, because he actually contacted some friends of mine, and they were the ones that actually asked me. And I said, well, I'll do some checking and see, but I'll just send my friend a message and see if I can't get some more information from him, you know, see if I can get the guy's name or something. But, you know, I hadn't heard about anything like that, but I didn't know, you know. So, and my friend said he didn't want to take the chance of getting involved in something if it wasn't legit, you know, and end up losing his license as an independent wrestler, you know, so.
Right.
But, I tell you guys, I very much enjoyed being on the show with you guys yesterday. It was a lot of fun.
Well, we enjoyed having you, Granny
Holster.
So, and yes, like I said, I'm getting my posters ready for next week. And, you know, like I said, I'm going to make that special poster for Alan Steele. So, I haven't figured out what I'm going to do for the Empire yet. You know, I got to make a really special one for them since I don't really like
that. All you got to do is make a sign that says, I embrace the Empire.
No. I mean, you say never say never. Well, you know, you said I would never like Michael Berry, and I said I would never cheer for Michael Berry, and I ended up cheering for Michael Berry. But, you know, now I'm going to cheer for Alan Steele. But the Empire, that's a little bit too far for fetched for me. I don't think I'll go down that road, you know. Not right now. I don't think I would ever go down that road when it comes
there
to the Empire.
That's all right.
But I got to thinking of another good guest you could try to get on your show, Greg.
Who's that?
Scott Phoenix, since he is a fairly newcomer to TCW.
Who's that?
Scott Phoenix. He is the guy that beat Lance Hoyt for the championship after he won the Rumble Riot.
Oh, okay.
Who in the world is that?
So, he's fairly new to TCW.
We'll just have to look him up and see what we can find out about
friends,
the boy.
He's friends with me on Facebook, on my Granny Holster page and on my Lori Burke page. So, I mean, he's friends with me. And if you would like, Greg, I could send him a message and ask him if he would like to come on your show, if you'd like me to.
Well, you be the hookup, baby doll.
So, is that satisfactory with you, Clint? You didn't like my ideas yesterday. Is that satisfactory with you?
Hey, you
can do it. Clint's the boss, so you got to ask him. So.
I'll be the perennial heel on this show. I'll do whatever I got to do.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, you know, you said I was fired for my ideas yesterday. I thought, well, I'll throw out a different one, you know.
I don't remember I don't remember what was said whenever I said that to you.
Well,
I don't
you
remember what
said
I did.
You, like John, you said you didn't like John Saxon because when John Saxon came on, you were like sitting there going, boo.
I was, yeah, I was booing the guy. No, I had to give him a hard time about the Russellville Fight Club thing.
I know,
I'm glad he,
I know you did.
I'm glad he
I know
remembered
you did.
That. It was hilarious at the time. It was just something that I know that I can't remember which one of the guys did it, but one of them got in the ring and said, "What's up, Russellville?" or something like that. We were like, "Oh my God, that was my green light." I hammered down on them for the rest of the night with that.
Oh yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
But he's a good guy. He cares about the business. He loves what he does. He's been doing it a long time. He's a real life here. He's a great guy, and I appreciate what he's doing. I appreciate the attitude that he's got. And he came into TCW, pretty much still on the ground floor of all the success. And I'm sure that TCW is just now getting started. I mean, I know they've been going at this for a while, but as far as the success goes and the pot of gold and all this stuff, I don't think they've reached their potential yet. I think they're still on the uphill climb, and it's only going to get better from here.
Oh yeah, well I'll admit it. I'm a mark, I like John Saxon, I like Tim Storm, So I can't help
but
who I like, So I mean, I'll support my boys, every way I can. I'll support my guys every which way I can, But I did talk to Michael Berry. I did talk to Michael Berry briefly yesterday on Facebook. He said he is doing a little bit better. He's feeling a little bit better, but he said the doctors aren't very optimistic right now, I guess, from the abuse over the years that he's, had. So he says, so who knows? So, I mean, I know my prayers and thoughts go out to Michael Berry that he gets better, because I made him a special poster. He said something about he was going to be in Fort Smith next week, and I don't know if he's just going to be making an appearance or if he – I wouldn't think that he'd actually be wrestling yet, but I don't know if he's been cleared or not. But I did make him a special poster saying, "Get well, Mr. Saturday Night Michael Berry, TCW needs you." And then I signed it, your number one fans, we put our names on, the poster and everything. So if he's there, I'm going to specifically give him that poster for him to keep because,
I will have you know something. You will never take the place of Michael Berry's number one fan, and that is this guy right here.
Well, I know that, but hey, I've known Michael Berry a long time, though. I've known Michael Berry from when he's wrestled with other federations. Because, see, I knew Michael Berry before I ever started going to TCW.
Yeah, he wrestled a lot in Oklahoma.
I remember the first TCW show that we went, that we came to, it was when Jerry Lawler was there, and it was at the Fort Smith Event Center. That was the first one that we came to. And I saw Michael Berry come out, and Boyd Bradford was his manager that night. And that's the first time I had seen Michael Berry in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I stood up and I said, "Mr. Saturday Night." And he's like, he looks at me, his mouth drops wide open, he puts his hands on his face. He says, "Oh!" I said, "Your worst nightmare is back." And he's like, "Oh, I thought I got rid of you." I said, no way. And I remember the match between him and Alan, Genetic Perfection, against Matt Revere and Tim Storm when they were the tag team champions. He came out and grabbed my poster quicker than you could snap your fingers and ripped that poster in half. And I'm like, I was so shocked. I'm like, "Oh, you ripped up my poster." So he sent me a message on Facebook. He says, "Sorry about your poster, Granny." He says, "I'll bring you some tape next time."
Wow.
I've known Michael Berry for several years, Michael Berry and I are very, very good friends. So,
you know my history with Michael Berry. I remember Michael Berry back when I was working with WCCW, running that little building down on School. And at that time, I was managing Adrian Steele and Yukon Eric Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, I think everybody remembers the classic matches I had with Reckless Ryan Reed and Yoshi.
I tell you, I remember, where I first got to meet Mr. Saturday Night Michael Berry was at Arkansas Pro Wrestling, you know. And I know you're familiar with that federation, Greg, you know, and everything.
Yes.
And, you know, when it was PWE and then it became Arkansas Pro Wrestling, you know, that's how I got to know Michael Berry. It's how I got to know Adrian Steele, God rest his soul, and I miss him dearly. But, you know, that's how I got to know a lot, you know, Rolling Thunder. That's how I got to know a lot of those guys, you know, Gary Graham and, you know, everybody like that, Slug and, you know, so.
Those were the days.
Yep, those were the days, so. But, yeah, I'm excited. I, like I said, Granny's getting pumped up, you know. I mean, I'm just taking it easy because I want to save my strength for Fort Smith.
There you go.
I'm still walking with my cane, but, hey, you know, I mean, I got to do what I got to do, you know. And
maybe one of these days
I'll get one of those little hover rounds that you were talking about, Clint, not too long
right.
ago. You,
know? You bet.
But, no, they don't want me sitting for long periods of time, and standing for long periods of time is not a good thing either. So, you know, but I got to admit, you know, my TCW family, they take really good care of me. I mean, if there's not a place to sit down out in the lobby area before the show starts, somebody always makes sure to go find me a chair where I can sit down and where I don't have to stand while we're waiting in line. So, you know, I love my TCW family for that, you know, and you know, and I told Barry, I told Michael Berry yesterday, I said, we're glad you're doing better, but I said, you know, you're strong, and you're sure not a quitter, and I said, but you know what is best for you to do, and whatever you decide, you know, it'll be the right thing, but I said, no matter what, we will always love Mr. Saturday Night. You know, and he thanked me. He says, oh, I love my wrestling family. I said, well, even though I'm not a wrestler, I love my wrestling family, too, and I love my TCW family. So, you know.
Right on.
So they take good care of Granny when I come to their shows, so they always make sure that I'm okay. And, you know, and so, but, you know, you were talking about Brian Thompson being an icon yesterday.
You know, he is the icon.
Well, He may be a icon.
No, he's the icon.
But I have been told that I've been an icon at TCW as well, Clint. So, you know.
That's right.
Guess maybe, you know, maybe I'll have to share that title with Brian Thompson, even though he's not one of my favorite people. Because I made a poster for Matt Rhodes when we went to Clarksville. I put TCW's number one commentator, Matt Rhodes, TCW rocks. And Brian's like looking at my poster, and Matt Rhodes comes over and he's pointing at the camera guy. He says, hey, get a picture of this poster right here.
Is Chris Cruz still with TCW?
His name is Matt Rhodes. He's the commentator that works with Brian Thompson.
No, is Chris Cruz still with TCW?
Who? Chris Cruz? No.
See, I didn't even know that.
No. Yeah, Chris Cruz, he left a long time ago. I mean, he went to, I think he's living up in Washington, D.C., I think. I'm not sure. But I know he's not, he hasn't been there for quite a while. But yeah, they got this guy by the name of Matt Rhodes. He's been commentating with Brian Thompson now for several months. And I made him a special poster because Brian's always given him grief. And, you know, I just wanted him to know that, you know, he's got people out there that like him, you know, because I know Brian Thompson doesn't, but that's okay. Brian Thompson doesn't like anybody except himself and the Golden Girl and the Empire, and maybe that's about it, you know.
He likes me. But, I know that.
Well, okay, he can like you, too. All right, and he likes you, so. I mean, I like you, too, but, you know,
There's not
I don't
many,
have no
there's
love,
not many
I don't have love, no, I don't have no love lost for Brian Thompson there, but, you know, that's
there
okay.
There you go. I've got a story to update you guys on. Did you guys see Monday Night Raw on Monday night?
Yes.
Okay, where is Squirrel? Is he still on board?
I'm here.
Okay,
He's listening to us chit-chat.
All right, so here's the deal.
You two hash it out.
This is for every this is for everybody here. The you guys saw the deal last week. Mark Henry, you know, was out talking, and suddenly the Shield comes down and they start laying into Mark Henry. Well, this week, you know, last day he comes out and he says, you know, the Shield, you guys want me? I'm ready now. You guys come in. So they came down. They started, you know, putting the beat down on Mark Henry, and here come the Usos. The Usos come out and rescue Mark Henry. And so now there's going to be the Usos and Mark Henry versus Shield on next week's Monday Night Raw. It was originally, here's the real what was supposed to happen. You know, the Big Show was supposed to come back on Monday Night Raw, and for some reason he didn't know that. Well, the real reason now is so what his original plan was for Mark Henry to come out and do his talking and Shield to come down and attack Mark Henry, the Big Show was going to come down and save Mark Henry. The handicap match was going to be Big Show or Henry against the Shield and Slam. So now this is why the Usos have come out. The Usos are in the picture, and I think it's good for them because they're in the tag team championship picture. And you know, the two guys, two of the guys from the Shield, they have the tag team titles. So I think it's good that they're a part of this. And so, yeah, so the Big Show takes another back seat and more people are moving up. And I think that's good because he's another one of these guys who's been doing this for a long time. And we need to get some of these younger guys in the mix here. And I think now they're doing a good enough job getting the Usos in the picture. They need to do more with the Usos. The tag division has been weak for so long. And they need to do something with it. So I think it's going to be good for business, to be honest with you.
Oh, I agree. I've liked the Usos. I've liked watching the Usos, and I agree. I mean, they started to give them a little push, if I remember correct, towards the first of the, maybe it was the end of last year or the first of the year. They started giving them a little bit of a push, but then all of a sudden they backed off. But mm-hmm. now they're starting to give them a push again. So
I've got some pretty big boxing news here. Former three division title holder Miguel Cotto and Delvin Rodriguez have scheduled a fight. They're going to meet in a 12 round junior middleweight bout on October 5th. It'll be on HBO, and that will be at the home arena of the Orlando Magic. It'll be the first time Dillon has hosted a boxing event, big enough deal that Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer made an appearance at the news conference. So Rodriguez is saying that he's guaranteeing a KO against Miguel Cotto. Now, Cotto says he's in the final stages of his career, but he wants to have about three more fights. Rodriguez said, I don't even want him to have that many. Rodriguez is out to end Cotto's career. Right? He wants to be the one that hangs it up for him. And so, you know, Miguel Cotto, everybody knows his scoop. He's 37-4, 30 knockouts. He's only 32 years old. He's a former junior welterweight and junior middleweight title holder. Looking to end a two-fight losing skid in his first fight since returning with a promoter Top Rank. You know, I don't know. Rodriguez is 28-6-3. He's got 16 KOs. He's 33 years old. He's twice challenged for world titles but lost decisions, and one of them was for a vacant welterweight title, and the other was for a junior middleweight title. But, you know, I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, Miguel Cotto is a great boxer. I mean, he's one of the best we've ever seen. Rodriguez is, you know, decent, but, you know, Cotto's getting up there. I mean, Cotto, he's had a lot more fights, and he's been in a lot tougher fights than Rodriguez has. So I don't know. This may be it for Miguel Cotto.
Well, I know Cotto had a series of epic fights with the late Josh Clotty. Matter of fact, I even did one of the fights. I did the ring announcing for one of the fights for Showbox that had Miguel Cotto versus Joshua Clotty. It was in Springfield at the Shrine Mosque. Like you say, he's kind of on the downside of his career. So it definitely be interesting to see, you know, what happens with this fight. Reason I remember that fight so well, and it's kind of a sad reason that I remember that fight, is because it was just a couple of months later after that fight at Springfield, Josh Clotty was killed in a motorcycle accident in Vegas.
Hey, Daddy.
So that's one of the reasons I remember that fight so well.
Hey, don't pull away. Go.
Daddy, I need to tell you something.
Okay, what? Tell me what? What?
What was that again?
Hurry up. Hurry up. Yes, you can try it. Yes.
Okay. Is that your sweet Lily?
That was Lily Davis. She wanted a piece of gum.
Well, I don't think she's ever met me, but I think she is a cutie, and you just tell her that one of your good friends, Granny Holzer, thinks she's just as cute as can be.
I will do that. She's a good baby. She likes to hit me up when I'm on the radio, though. That's when she needs the most attention.
Well, you know, that's Daddy's little princess. You know what I'm saying?
yes.
So.
Hey, I've also got some MMA news here. Chael Sonnen will return to the middleweight division after his August 17th light heavyweight bout with Mauricio Rua in Boston. The former UFC number one middleweight contender revealed his decision Tuesday night on Fuel TV. So Sonnen is returning to the middleweight division. He's going to fight Mauricio Rua in Boston on August 17th, and then he's going to be back. He's recently signed a new five-fight contract with UFC, and he's got a new training team. He was with Team Quest in Portland, Oregon, and now he's going to be with Rain Training Center in Lake Forest, California. Mark Munoz is the head coach at Rain Training Center. You know the name Mark Munoz. He was one of the greatest high school college wrestlers. He was at Oklahoma State. We saw him fight at UFC 162. He came in and dominated. In fact, Chris Weidman was one of the guys that beat Mark Munoz. I mean, he tore Munoz up, and Munoz is a beast in the cage. And so that was one of the reasons kind of why I looked at the fight. I looked at Weidman and Silva, and I generally don't pick like this, but I honestly thought that Weidman was going to win, and that's why I bet on him. I mean, without the risk, again, of incriminating myself, I put money on the guy, and he came through for me. So Sonnen is going to be training under Mark Munoz, and he's already started. You know how Chael Sonnen is. He's already started calling people out. He's already started talking about people he wants to see in the octagon. Here's what Chael Sonnen said. He said, there are two guys I want to get matched up with. First, there's Victor Belfort, because he's awesome. And the second is Wanderlei Silva, who I just found out is going back to middleweight. He said, the landscape has completely changed. I have a new contract, and I'm returning to the weight class. So if he's able to secure a fight with Belfort, Sonnen would immediately put himself back in middleweight title contention with a victory. Belfort is currently ranked third among 185 fighters, and Sonnen is sixth. So if he can beat the number three, he could probably put himself back in to contention. Sonnen, 36 years old, he's 27-13-1. He's lost two fights in a row now. His last was a second-round TKO at 148 in July 2012, and then, to then-middleweight champion Anderson Silva. So, you never know what's going to happen. He moved to light heavyweight for a title shot against Bones Jones. You guys saw that. I mean, that was one that everybody, I don't know who thought he was going to win. I was kind of pulling for him, but he fought Bones Jones on April 27th at UFC 159. Of course, that was at 205. So, I mean, he's going down, back down to 185. So, I mean, it's going to be significantly different when he hits that middleweight division again. What do you think, Squirrel?
Oh, I don't know. I'm having to digest everything. I know. Sonnen can be a beast when he wants to be.
He can. I don't know at what weight class he can be a beast. I don't know if this is going to happen at 185. I mean, obviously, he couldn't succeed at 205, so now we're going to see something completely different. But another fight that a lot of people are talking about here, and I wanted to get this out in the mix, and maybe if our buddy from Pennsylvania can call back, heavyweight contender Daniel Cormier will settle a grudge with hard-hitting Roy Nelson at UFC 166 in Houston on October 19th. The Houston Chronicle reported the fight was the co-main event. The fight will be Cormier's last at heavyweight. He intends to begin cutting to light heavyweight sometime in November. Cormier was ranked number four among heavyweights by ESPN.com and has said repeatedly He will never fight for that title as long as Cain Velasquez is the champion. I don't know. That means he must be scared or something. I don't know. Cormier and Velasquez. Cormier and Velasquez are close friends and training partners. I guess that's why he's not going to challenge Velasquez for the title. So I don't know, man. I mean, I wouldn't care if it was a friend of mine or not. I would say go ahead and challenge for it anyway. But you guys know Nelson. I mean, Nelson can take a licking, and you know, Nelson's the guy with the big gut, with the big beard, you know. I mean, he looks like one of the Duck Dynasty guys. So Nelson's trying to get back in the win column at 166. He had his 3-fight win streak snapped via unanimous decision on June 15th by Stipe Miocic.
Really?
Yeah. That was one of the better fights that we saw back in June. So, you know, I don't know, man. I just think it was Nelson. I mean, if Miocic would have been fighting anybody else, he would have knocked him out in the first round. He put some licks on Nelson that you wouldn't believe. Some uppercuts, some overhand fists. I mean, he threw some punches that would have knocked anybody else out within probably 2 minutes. And Nelson took him 3 rounds.
Be interesting to see what happens. I mean, it'd just be interesting to see what happens with this, we'll just have to keep fans up to date and as it goes down, and just go from there.
You know, this is the co-main event. So the main event for UFC 166 is going to be Cain Velasquez. He's going to defend his title against former heavyweight champion Junior Dos Santos in the UFC 166 main event. So it's going to be the third meeting between them, with each fighter holding a win over the other. So this is going to kind of be a rubber match. Rubber match with Velasquez and Dos Santos, and whoever wins is going to get that title. So UFC 166 October. Is October 19th is going to be, I believe that's the weekend before XFI's Extreme Night of Champions on October 26th. So, you know, we're going to get two weekends of really good MMA. We're going to get UFC 166 on October 19th, and then a week later we're going to get Extreme Fighting Inc. We're going to get Extreme Night of Champions on October 26th here. So the 19th and then the 26th, we're going to watch some good stuff go down. So I can't wait for that. UFC 166 is shaping up to be better than the next two combined, 163 and 164, even 165. I don't even know what's on the menu for that one, but 166 is looking pretty good. There's going to be two co-main events are going to be excellent.
So get your tickets now. Order your pay-per-views. Do whatever.
That's right. Oh, can we talk about ordering pay-per-views, or do we need to rush everybody to Vegas to go watch the damn thing?
Hell, I don't care. Go for it. I'm not afraid of Dana White, so go ahead.
Hey, there's not a promoter in this country that I'm afraid of. They can say what they want. They can confront me all they want. I don't care. Let them do it. It's happened before.
You go, brother. Rock on, little buckaroo.
Not going there. But, I will talk
about
it.
Yeah, but you were thinking about it. You were thinking
about it. I was absolutely thinking about it. Go ahead.
What? All I was going to say is those initials and that last name are right there on the tip of your tongue.
Two of the letters are the same, and one of the other one sucks, too. So here's another story going down here that you're probably going to want to know about. You know the guy that blew the whistle on Alex Rodriguez and Ryan Braun and guys like this who are getting in trouble?
Yeah.
Okay, Porter Fisher is the guy's name. I'm not trying to get him strung up from a tree somewhere, but Porter Fisher is he blew the whistle on the Biogenesis scandal, providing documents to a Miami newspaper that named MLB players as performance-enhancing drug clients. So it turns out, he says there's at least a dozen more athletes whose names have not been exposed and that they came from across the sports world. He's the former biogenesis of Miami Clinic employee who turned boxes of documents over to the Miami New Times last year. He declined to name the athletes, but in his first television interview, Fisher told Outside the Lines that numerous sports had at least one athlete who received performance-enhancing drugs from clinic founder Tony Bosch. Fisher said this isn't a 2013 or a 2012 thing. Some of these people have been on the books since 2009, so apparently this has been going on for quite a while. He identified athletes from the NBA, NCAA, professional boxing, tennis, and MMA, in addition to other professional baseball players who have not yet been identified. As far as he knows, Fisher said, Bosch had no clients from the NFL or the NHL. So hockey and football look pretty clean here. Hockey and football look pretty clean here, unless they're going to Mexico to get some stuff under the radar.
There you go.
So, you know, Ryan Braun has been confronted with evidence. He agreed. Ryan Braun agreed to a season-ending 65-game suspension and forfeited his remaining salary for the year. Other suspensions, including New York Yankees' Alex Rodriguez, were expected within the next 2 weeks. The thing about Alex Rodriguez, and people don't know this, Squirrel, but the thing about Rodriguez is if he goes again, it's a lifetime ban from Major League Baseball.
Yay! Oh,
That is what people are seeking. That's what the MLB, Bud Selig, is seeking, a lifetime ban for Alex Rodriguez. People don't know about that. Is it time to wake up?
Yeah. Well, 50 minutes left in the show. I better wake up and participate.
Mercy. Thanks.
No. I mean, They're starting to crack down, and A-Rod, like you said, this is how many times for him that he's been popped, and so I mean it is what it is. I mean it's like they think rules don't apply to them when it's like yes they do, guys. That's why they make rules.
That's
how many
correct.
How many times is this for A-Rod?
You know, I don't know enough to get him a lifetime ban. I mean, what is that, the third offense? I mean, first is, 50 games or something? The next time is 180, and then the other is death penalty?
Yep, the death penalty.
I mean, that's what it'll be. He'll essentially be the next Pete Rose. You know, he's got great stats. He holds a couple of records, and if he gets a lifetime ban, I mean, he'll never be a Hall of Famer. He'll never... It's time they end this with Pete Rose. They need to just bury the hatchet. They need to sweep it under the rug.
Oh, I agree.
The man has paid the price. You know, he's. I was never a Pete Rose fan until I started watching his reality show, Hits and Misses. And, you know, once I got a good look at kind of who he is and how he operates, I mean, people love the guy. And,
I've been saying that for a long time. Pete Rose, yeah, he may have bet on baseball off the field, but the fact is it didn't. That had nothing to do with what he did on the field.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Bud Selig needs to get his head out of his arse, and him and Pete Rose need to just kiss and make up and let Pete in the Hall of Fame.
Well, they need a new commissioner. Baseball needs a new commissioner,
once they get one, it'll
happen for them. I think it'll happen. If they get a new commissioner, I think they can make this happen.
I agree, brother. I agree.
Is Granny still on, or did she drop off?
No, I'm here.
Granny Holster's still here. She's
been listening to all the fighting.
We do it so well, right? The phone line's
yes,
still open. We got about We still got a little bit of time left here on the show. Phone lines are open, 347-326-9073. Any comments, any questions you want to talk about? Who is Mike from Pennsylvania? That's when I'm trying to figure that out.
I think somebody's playing a joke on us. He's the guy that just busted right in the middle of my conversation. I was fixing to talk about a headline or something, and he just, bam, just hits right on.
He called in last week before the British Open too.
Oh, I don't remember that. Was I on the show that day?
Yes, you were on the show that day.
Okay. Hey, since former heavyweight champion Mike Tyson retired from boxing after a knockout loss to Kevin McBride in 2005, he's not been involved in boxing in any meaningful way. Sharif talks about his career in his hit one-man stage show. He appeared for his induction into the International Boxing Hall of Fame in 2011 and is regular at ringside for big fights. But Tyson did not have an official role in the sport until now. Tyson is entering the promotional end of the sport and is excited to be there. He said, I thought about it. I talked to my wife about it, and we thought we wanted to do it. He said this, Mike Tyson said this in an interview with ESPN2 on Friday Night Fight about his upstart Iron Mike Productions. He said, I feel so awesome to be involved with the game again. That just feels so awesome. The first fight card under Iron Mike Productions banner will take place August 23rd at the Turning Stone Resort Casino in Verona, New York. The card, the season finale of Friday Night Fight, feature junior lightweight world title holders, it's the same guy, junior lightweight world title holder, Arginus Mendez. He's 21-2 with 11 KOs in his first title defense against Arash Usmani. 20-1, 10 KOs, this guy. In the main event with Claudio Marrero, he's 14-0 with 11 KOs, taking on Jesus Andres Cuellar, 22-1 with 18 KOs. They're going to fight for a vacant interim featherweight title in the co-feature. So Mike Tyson is starting Iron Mike Productions. He's in the
I'm going to bite somebody's ear off.
Oh, I think those days are over for Mike Tyson. He's been through a lot. You know, his daughter died in a tragic.
I'm going to eat his children.
His daughter died in a tragic accident at home. She was on a treadmill and died on the treadmill. I don't know exactly what happened, but ever since he lost his daughter, he's been going through a hard time. And anybody with a daughter knows that that's devastating. I mean, you know, you can talk about it anyway, but, you know, it's just something that I think he's gone through a transformation. His wife has stood by his side through all this, and he's decided to move on to bigger and better things, you know. So I hope that this is one of the most successful promotions in the country, and I think it will be with his fame getting back in the boxing video games, you know, make it Mike Tyson's knockout 14 for next year, you know what I mean? I think there's a lot of things they can do with Mike Tyson. He can be really good for the sport, you know, because look at Muhammad Ali. I mean, if he was in great health, you know, he would still be part of the game. And so I think this is a rare occasion that we've got somebody like Mike Tyson, who is arguably one of the two or three greatest of all time, and he can still be a part of the sport.
Oh, I agree. I've always liked Mike Tyson. I know when I was announcing for Good Night Promotions down in the Fort Smith, Paris area, they had a boxer named Danny the Smashing Machine Cruz. Good little boxer, and I'm very surprised he didn't go further with his career, because somebody asked me to describe his fighting style, and I said, and I always told them, Danny Smashing Machine Cruz reminded me of a young Mike Tyson. I mean, he would come straight at you, and he would not back off till you were a bloody pulp squirming in the corner.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what I'll always remember Tyson for, because those early fights, he would just come straight at you, and if you didn't fight back, he was going to beat you harder. If you did fight back, he was going to beat you harder. So you were getting beat hard no matter what happened.
Yeah. Good stuff, man.
Good stuff, my brother. You are the man. 347-326-9073. We got about 10 minutes left.
10 minutes, huh?
Yeah. Granny Hulk,
well,
what you got over there?
That happens.
Oh, I'm just working on some stuff here before I have to go to my meeting tonight. I just stay real busy,
you
know, now that I'm not
again?
Working.
Did you fall off the wagon again? You got to go to those meetings again?
No, not that kind of meeting, guys.
Okay.
No, my husband and I, we belong to the Moose Lodge, and we're both officers, and we have a meeting tonight, so.
Oh, sorry.
What is wrong with this guy today?
I don't know, but. No, not that kind of meeting, Greg. So I don't even drink. So you know, I mean,
well,
definitely not that kind
it's
of meeting.
Thirsty Thursday.
Hey, just think,
they're having dollar beers out at Driller Stadium tonight.
Just think, this time last week, I was at the Arizona Grand Resort Lodge, sitting by the pool with a cigar and a mojito.
Nice.
Yes, it was.
Hey,
nice.
Did you see this picture of the bank deposit slip that I put on Facebook?
No, what? Oh, I saw that. Honey, I need $100.
Somebody put $650.
$650. $50.
This is how they spelled hundred. Hundred is spelled HUNNIT. Hunnit. And 50. It's
Hunted
spelled FIDDY, so fitty.
$100
going into the bank here, and
wow. Where was that from?
It was from a bank statement. I don't have any idea where it originally came from, but that's an amazing level of intelligence that I had to share with the world. This is part of what we're dealing with these days.
That sounds like something Gumby off of a Saturday night. I'm Gumby, Dad. Kind of $50.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. It's Thirsty Thursday, boys and girls. Light up a margarita and be happy.
Yep, Thirsty Thursday. Dollar beers at Driller Stadium. I don't know if I might have to take a cab out there to that one.
Uh-oh.
You get dollar beers going, I'm going to take a 20 out there and go crazy.
Oh, wow. Man. Hey, you got some money?
I got some money?
Yeah.
I mean, just enough for dollar beers.
I need $1.2 million. Can I borrow $1.2 million?
You can call Iron Mike Productions and get about $650.
$650 from I know I just sent him an email asking if he needed a ring announcer.
I'd call Iron Mike Promotions. I might call him on the phone. I'll get a hold
Walker,
of him.
Walker, here's the reason why I'm looking for $1.2 million. Chuck Norris is selling his Dallas home where they did a lot of filming for Walker, Texas Ranger. The 7,362 square foot four bedroom home served as the on screen home for Chuck Norris's character on Walker, Texas Ranger. So apparently, Chuck is selling his house.
Yeah, but who wants to live in Texas?
Oh, by the way, the total gems do come with it. Okay. There we go. That's good.
Chuck Norris is from Oklahoma anyway. Nobody wants to live in Texas.
I don't know.
He's from Ryan, Oklahoma.
Well, all I know is he's selling his Texas home.
Probably because he's tired of living down there, too.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
Texas. Boo. Boo. Boo.
Here I sit. Never mind. I can't. Oh, man, they got some bedroom pictures.
Well, I'm not a big Texas fan, but I always liked that show, Walker, Texas Ranger. It was always one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, it's always anything with Chuck Norris is great. Chuck Norris and Steven Seagal.
Oh, yeah.
Steven Seagal.
I like Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal!
God.
I like Steven Seagal.
Here we go again.
Well, guys, it's been a It's been a pleasure. I'm going to get off here because I got to get ready to go to take care of some things before I have to go to my meetings tonight. But it's always a pleasure hanging out with you guys. And, Gray, I will try to get a hold of Scott Phoenix and see if he possibly can come on your show. And I will give him your contact information, so if that's okay, and that way he can contact you directly and or whatever you want me to do. So.
Cool. Sounds good.
And I think he would be a good person to have on the show since he is fairly new to TCW, you know, and since he is the champion right now, and he did win the Rumble Riot and the $15,000 that they gave away there in Clarksville. So, you know, he's a very, very talented, young wrestler. I mean, I really like to watch Scott Phoenix wrestle, so. But I will see what I can do for you gentlemen. I'll see if I can get that worked out. I'll send him a message on Facebook and see if I can get that worked out.
Well, we appreciate that, Granny Hulkster. You be good. You have a good night.
Oh, yeah.
Go enjoy your meeting.
Well, and, you know, if I wasn't an officer, I wouldn't even be going. But, you know, I'm Secretary Treasurer, so I got to go. You know, it's one of those things. It's kind of mandatory that I be there, you know, so. But I will try to pop on your show again before next week, and I will definitely have to pop on the show after Back to School Bash, you know, just so, you know, it can give you, in case you can't make it, Greg, you know, that way I can kind of give you all a little post-presentation of what took place at Back to School Bash number 4.
Yeah, because I'm going to be covering UFC 163, and I'm not going to be, you know, I'll have the kids that weekend, and I'll be covering UFC 163 for Extreme Fighting Inc., so I'm definitely not going to be able to make it.
Well, I'm going to try my best to be there, so we'll just have to see what happens between now and then.
But if you can't make it, I will try to, you know, come on, you know, Monday or something, you know, just give you a little post presentation of what took place. So.
Sweet.
So.
Sounds like a winner.
You know, like the Monday after, you know, like I said, that would be the 6th of August. My days are running into each other. But you guys have a good day, and it's always a pleasure hanging out with you guys. So.
Well, we appreciate you, Granny Hulkster.
And we will talk to you. We will love you guys too, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye. Granny Hulkster, you gotta love her.
She is a ghetto favorite. Yep, she's definitely a favorite, man. Always like to have her at these events.
Well, all right, brother. I guess I'm gonna get out of here. Play a little football on the PlayStation. I'm currently 5-1 and ranked number 1 in the country with my football team.
Wow. Who are you, the Razorback?
Of course.
Oh, gosh. That's the only way they'll ever win a championship is on a video game.
Hey, it's a moral victory. Come on.
Right. There you go. Got to have those moral victories, huh?
Woo-hoo! Don't forget tomorrow, we got the big Friday show, and we're going to have Susie Wyatt, the battling grandma.
Yeah,
Mama Beast is what they call her.
I'm not going to call her a grandma. Hey, we've also got at high noon on blogtalkradio.com/XFI Live, we've got...
Oh, sorry.
What is that?
the high noon gunfight theme, you know.
Oh, the good, the bad, the ugly?
Yeah, the good, the bad, and Greg Squirrel.
There you go. High noon, blogtalkradio.com/XFI Live. We will be on live at noon. I've got nothing planned for tomorrow, but I'm sure tonight I'll probably talk to a couple of fighters, and we'll probably get somebody on the show.
I'm excited about having Susie Wyatt, 49 years old, female MMA fighter.
I've seen stuff that says she's 51, and stuff that says she's 49.
Well, you know, our buddy Dave Davis was on the show yesterday, and he did confirm for us that she is 49, and she won her last fight 39 seconds in the first round with an armbar submission. That's 100% pure beast right there.
That's why she's Mama Beast.
That's why they call her Mama Beast. Hey,
yeah.
Clint, go to the bank, borrow $1.2 million so we can buy Chuck Norris's Texas Ranch.
Okay.
We could do all kind of stuff from out there, man.
I guarantee you.
I know.
We could put on 500 radio shows a day we could do out there.
Yeah, we would have enough room out there. We could put on our own MMA events and not have to
probably true. Yeah.
All right. Go home, Bubba. Have fun with
Lily. All right, dude. Definitely. You have a good evening.
All right. See you tomorrow. Don't forget, folks, join us right back here tomorrow, 4 p.m. till whenever they decide to run us off the air. Right here on the Greg Squirrel Show, right here on Block Talk Radio. See you.